Join the conversation
on the Cape Talk app, online and across the Cape on 567 AM.
You're with Cape Talk.
Well, we get to end the show with a smile, thankfully, after some fairly heavy conversations up until now. My guest needs very little introduction to the Cape Talk audience. If you heard his laugh in the background there, you already know that I've got Alan Comity in studio with us. Many of you would have seen Defending the Caveman. You're going to love his fresh take on revisiting the issue of men and women and their relationships. The show's called Love Factually. Alan, great to have you with us.
This is nice. Is this our first time in studio together?
I feel like it is. I feel like it too. We've spoken on the phone many times.
And this is important. This is a pivotal moment. I want to say pivotal, certainly for a Monday. It's important. It's lovely to be here. Thanks.
Great to have you with us. Tell us about the show.
Well, as you said, I'd performed Defending the Caveman for 963 performances.
Sure.
I know, over a very long period. And then at some point I kind of thought, well, the original show, which was written back in America in 1990, it's now coming up to 30 years old. It's 29 years old. And
yeah,
it kind of struck me that surely things have changed a little bit. And certainly in a kind of modern era, you've kind of made reference in some of your conversations already. We have become so much more attuned and understanding of some of the complexities of relationships. So hence, about 2 years ago, I gave birth creatively to Love Factually, which is my kind of relook or a fresh look at relationships in 2018 and initially in 2016. Because I think things have changed and they keep changing. They're moving all the time. I say in the show that, you know, the old book was Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Yeah.
But we keep finding new planets and stars. So I think the playing surfaces are changing quite quickly underneath us. And so this is obviously a comic look and a fairly broad look, mostly at kind of heteronormative relationships. But certainly we talk about how society now has to kind of understand and be attuned to all of the other kind of complexities and be open to all the amazing lifestyles that are available to us and how that influences us.
Mm.
And then we look at kind of it's not silly at all. Interesting things like the fact that we live much longer. So a lot of us are living till, you know, in South Africa at the moment, there are thousands of people who are 100 years old or older.
Mm.
Around the world, 450,000 people. So what does that mean when you take a life partner? That's quite a big choice.
The life sentence is literally a life sentence.
Literally. So, and then, you know, as always, if you've seen any of my shows, there's amazing stories out there. And every night we have couples who are either dating. We've had blind dates. We've had people who've been together for 63 years. Had a doctor in the other night who met his partner on the Friday, proposed to on the Saturday, and they just celebrated 61 years together. Isn't that extraordinary?
Goodness.
So we have the full range. And even if you're single, you should come watch the show because it's cheaper that way. You don't have to waste money on anybody else. But I can also bring you some breaking news. We're sold out for this week.
That's amazing.
Our final week, so we're opening a new week next week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
news.
So from tomorrow morning, from 8 a.m. On web tickets, 8 a.m. On web tickets, we'll have four extra shows, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and hopefully we'll see some of the listeners coming to watch us.
You're at the flip side at the back, so yes?
Which is a fantastic little venue. It's literally on the backstage area of the main stage, and it's we've kind of put 200 seats out, and it's a beautiful, intimate, comedy-driven venue, so fun to play.
Fun to play. Do you play with your audience? So you said, I mean, you seem to know a lot about them. Do you bring anybody up on stage?
No, I don't bring people up on stage. Not in this show, but I certainly, you know, I encourage people to kind of chat. There are two parts in the show two little moments where I call them kind of riffing moments, where I want to engage a little bit with their stories because it kind of opens up all kinds of comedy possibilities. But, you know, if you don't want to get involved, you don't have to get involved. It's not that kind of show. It really is a chance for you to, what's amazing to me, particularly in a show like this and much like Caveman, is that you see an incredible recognition from the audience. So a lot of ribbing and hitting, and that's you, and no, that's you. And I think you even go through little journeys in the show. I think some couples might even break up about through minutes 30 to 35, but then make up by minute 42 and then are very happy by the end. so a lot of the fun for me is actually watching audiences watch me.
I was going to ask you about that. So to be up there commanding the stage on your own, how much, I mean, if I was that person, even if I've got an audience of 20 people in studio,
right,
having people in front of me and trying to engage with them at the same time as focusing on remembering your lines and what you're doing next and what's the punchline of the joke, how do you manage to marry those two with focusing on your own performance on stage?
It's an amazing thing. The comic brain, the brain in itself is just an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And I think as a comedian, often you're working on many levels. I used to say this about Caveman, that performing is a very feminine thing to do because you are multitasking. You are being highly sensitized to emotions and energies. And so it's quite an interesting thing. I've had moments where not only am I working some new material and I'm aware that the lady on my left is about to go to the toilet, so I might chase after her and that, oh, the time's a little slow and maybe this guy in the front is not enjoying it. I can have all of those thoughts. And then right in the middle of that, I can still think clearly, oh, I forgot to record Westworld on DSTV. I must make a note when I get home. Jeez. And the brain is incredible. And when you talk to sports people, they'll say the same. You know, I remember Herschel Gibbs saying to me once, in the middle of a cricket field, kind of towards the climax of a big game, him about to win the game, at that moment, he could spot someone in the crowd that he hadn't seen for ages and have that clear thought of, oh, I can't believe he's here. You know, the brain's and in fact, we talk about how the brain, you know, is such an incredible tool, and we probably don't use it enough. Mm. And if we understood how men and women use their brains equally, but actually subtly differently, we might get a little closer to finding some common ground.
After 963 performances, I mean, I'm laughing because I saw Defending the Caveman when Tim Plumman was still doing it before when I got engaged. And there were moments there where I was ribbing and saying, yeah, that's you. You're going to have to change that before we get married, etc. I'd love to see it now from the perspective of having been married for 18 years.
Well, this
years.
Is the interesting thing
Do
about...
you get people coming back again?
Yeah,
like
absolutely. Yeah. And even with Love Factually, last night we had a couple of... It was the third time they were back and they were bringing new people. So that's exciting. It means that there is a, you know, some kind of relationship that they're forming with the material and that it's resonating. With Caveman, it struck me that it was couples who were married looking at the show and going, yeah, this is our story. And younger people who are maybe dating and hadn't yet committed going, wow, this is what lies ahead. Mm. This show is the opposite. This show is younger folk going, this is our world. This is how we have to kind of connect now and date and the kind of madness that, you know, takes us over. And older couples are going, thank goodness we're already attached. I don't know how I'd survive in a dating world that is kind of as crazy as it is.
So has the caveman gone onto Tinder?
The caveman is very much on Tinder. He uses Instagram and he is as befuddled as he was before.
Well, there's a message already in from Robin on our WhatsApp line. He said, Alan's show is superb. I saw him on Saturday night. He is so funny and we absolutely love him. Robin, thank you.
I love Robin. Oh, Robin, you're such a good judge of person. I love you.
Love to hear from anyone else who's already been to see it. If you want to either give us a call on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. Write a tweet. If Alan can be a woman for 5 minutes, what would be the first thing he would do? If I'm not a cruel world, that's a great question.
Wow, that is a great question. If I was a woman, what would be the first thing I'd do? That is a very good question. I tell you, I say in the show, and it's one of the things, because I think that we sometimes, particularly with language, becomes very important. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I've created a fictional girlfriend for myself in the show. She's a conglomeration of a number of people that I've either been involved with or am involved with, whatever. And I don't give away names to protect the innocent. But the Melissa in the show, she sometimes uses language in an interesting way. Mm-hmm. And it's that maybe is what makes it a little hard for me to understand. And I'm just speaking about me here, obviously. But for example, if you say, what do you feel about a braai on Saturday? I don't feel anything about a braai. I have no emotional connection to a braai. But if you say, what do you think? Sometimes that's easier. So maybe if I was the opposite gender, I think it's about just suddenly realizing how things are actually the same. We do see things in the same way, but we have different processes to get there. The journey is a slightly different one. And a little bit of empathy from both genders, I think, is not a bad thing.
Particularly given, I mean, we are now, so fast forward 963 performances from Caveman Day One. We're in a world where it strikes me men and women are almost insisting on having access to each other's space in a way that they hadn't when you started doing that show all those years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one of the things, much like Caveman, Love Factually has this idea that there is a way of living in a kind of harmonious space, even with people kind of, as you say, probably claiming more space from each other. It's maybe less battle of the sexes now, where it's almost like we're fighting the same fight. We just don't know who we're fighting these days. It comes from all sides. you know, we're also in a tricky time with sensitivities. People are very quick to kind of be affronted and or insulted by things. I think this is the kind of show that doesn't go into those territories. It really is kind of more about, if you're sitting in an audience with 200 other people and you suddenly find that you're laughing at the same things, that's quite an affirming moment. You suddenly go, oh, maybe it's not just us. You always assume it's just you. Yeah. I can't believe he does this or she does that. And then you look around and you go, oh, wait, we're all doing this. Yeah. We've all had these problems.
I've got to bring in Jenny, who's given us a call from Constantia and has seen the show already. Jenny, thanks so much for calling in. Did you enjoy it?
I haven't laughed as much in a long time. Thank you, Alan.
Absolute pleasure, Jenny. Thank you. Thanks for coming to watch.
I went last Wednesday with a friend, and she and I laughed from beginning to end. We actually laughed mostly at people that you said weren't laughing. And we were going to convince them to laugh by the end of the evening.
I do like to tease my audience a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm so disappointed that Melissa isn't real.
Now, I didn't say, now listen now, don't be jumping to any conclusions, please, Jenny. Let's just, Melissa might well be real, but I'm just changing names to protect the innocent.
Okay. So my question is, instead of my kids and their partners coming to dinner on Thursday, I was thinking of taking them to the show.
Oh, how fantastic.
Wondered whether I would be yawning or whether it would be slightly different from last Wednesday.
That's a good question. I think every show, because I like to, as a comedian, I'm very open to what the audience brings. I would say the show is always a minimum of 15% to 20% different every night. Some nights even more than that, because I go on a huge riff. But I like to bring a prepared structure to a show. You know, it's not a comedy club where I'm just going to make up 15 minutes of material. You're there for 90 minutes. I've got a prepared show. But if the audience is going to lead me into some lovely comedy territory, I'll go there. And if not, I've got a good show anyway. So, you probably will see a little bit of different stuff. And I also, as I'm going along each new day, something new, a new thought might strike me and I might try some new material. But, I would take the risk is what I would do, Jenny, and just come and watch it anyway. And by the way, if you don't get in this week, because it is quite full, we are adding new shows next week. So it could be the following week.
Jenny and Constantia. And nobody has to mind their table manners or think about what they're going to say to the partner's mother. So it's
exactly.
A very nice, non-pressurized environment. Sounds like an absolute win to me. We've got a voice note that's come in as well. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Papa. Mark here from Kenwyn. Alan Committee is hilariously brilliant. I saw the show, I wrote a little write-up in the Argus, and it's a must-see, especially with all the doom and gloom. Both Alan Committee and his Melissa, they put on a wonderful show. Take care and God bless you, Alan. You are a star. And also, you're an ex-Sunlander from Kenwyn.
I am indeed. Yeah, nice to hear someone from Kenwyn. I grew up in Kenwyn and went to Sunlands Primary. In fact, I was head boy there at the primary school.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So nice to hear. I think that's Mark Kleinschmidt, who's fantastic. I know he was there on the press night and he wrote some lovely things. I'm very grateful. Thank you, Mark.
Mark, thanks for that voice note. We're happy to squeeze in a few more, by the way. 0725671567 or give us a call on 0214460567. Is it true that you were a teacher before you became an
actor? I was indeed. I taught for 3 or 4 years at Westerford, which was my alma mater, and then at Herschel for a couple of years, Plumstead, Witabooma, and then I think it was always part-time. It was always with the kind of bigger aim of going into the acting industry. That's how I studied the pictures being taken of me. I think for Farmers Weekly, I don't know. And
shoot.
Yeah, exactly. So teaching was a big part of my life, and it's fascinating because I still see, you know, people that I taught back in like 99, 2000, now even bringing their youngsters to the show, which A, tells me how old I'm becoming, but B, you know, this is an amazing kind of carrying on and hopefully people supporting live theater, which is
fantastic,
an exciting prospect. Yeah.
And it's got to be easier to manage an audience than a classroom full of unruly teenagers.
Well, I think the one feeds the other. And I can tell you, I honestly believe that looking after a room of unruly teenagers, as you call them, is a great way of preparing for an audience. Because any group of people, whether it's 15 or 200, take on a personality within moments. Mm-hmm. It might be someone who has got a great laugh that kind of is contagious and makes other people laugh. It might be someone who keeps asking questions in a class and makes the class a little bit heavy-handed and hard to kind of... But an audience, within seconds, you can go, this is going to be that kind of show, or, I'm going to have to slow down. Sometimes I come across an audience that are not speaking their first language, so they might be very Afrikaans or a mixed crowd, and then I can see people enjoying it, but you can see the translation happening
in their heads. Yeah,
I used to do that. If I'd go and watch Casper de Vries, and I'd sit in an audience, and the audience were rocking like mad. They were so in tune with him, and I would be literally going, "Oh, yeah. Oh right, yes." But it would always be about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's intriguing as well to me, and sometimes you've got to work with that rhythm. But part of the fun, I think, of playing a comedy like this is working out the mechanics, and every night trying to see, you know, can I stretch and push here? Can I slow down? Will I add some more stuff here? Every night is slightly kind of different and exciting.
I'm in awe of the fact that there's a huge chunk of the show every night that's different every night. I mean, that's a rare talent to be
able
to.
And I like to try and bring in the story of, so, you know, I try and meet five or six people in the crowd, as it were, even if it's just by name or reference, and then they become part of the story. And whatever information I might glean from them will then fill up sometimes – you know, just made up, but it'll add to to hopefully what the narrative is. So
go prepared to be content for the show is the bottom line. We've got to wrap it up there, Alan. It's so nice to finally meet you in person and have you in studio. It's so great to hear that there are additional performances laid on. So you'll catch Love Factually at the Baxter Flipside until?
So now until the 23rd. So this week, and then we'll do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. And then that's it. Then I have to put that to rest for at least the rest of this year. I've got other projects lined up, but we hope to bring it back again. It's the kind of show I think that can be revived a number of times and updated each time.
As often as you change girlfriends,
exactly.
Bring the show back. Alan Cometty, catch him in Love Factually at the Baxter. Tickets available via Web Tickets or the Baxter box office. Costing between 120 and 160 rand a head.